in, and the doctor is in. Yeah, you have found Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. And I trust you're ready for some tech news. First of all, let me tell you, Merry Christmas. Here it is, Christmas Eve. Wow, as I record this, of course, you know, I assume you're listening almost live. If not, then, old news. But anyway, for me, it's New Year's Eve, and I'm glad you could join us for Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon podcast number 16. Here it is, December the 24th, 2005. Wow, this year is almost gone. I tell you, it's soon going to be 2006, which is pretty strange when you think about it. 2006, yeah. Didn't seem that long ago. It was 19XYZ, whatever, you know. But here it is, 2006, coming up. Well, let me tell you a little bit about the tech news that's been happening. Strange things, as usual, in the tech world. It just seems like odd things just tend to happen. Well, this is one that I think is pretty strange. Google annies up $1 billion, that's with a B, billion dollars for AOL. AOL? Give me a break. Now, not only that, $1 billion, and it's only 5% of AOL that they're buying. You know, you could put a calculator to that and figure out what the rest of the percentage of AOL would be worth, and that's just outrageous. Not only that, AOL, I mean, I wouldn't give you a penny for AOL. Anyway, but, you know, okay, Google, bless your darling hearts, you got the money to do it, but why you did it, I just don't know. I mean, AOL was on the skids, and everybody was talking about how it was dying, and on and on and on, and then Google turns around and annies up $1 billion for 5% of it. Okay, that's cool. You know, Google, if you're looking for somebody to spend some money on, you could just send it this way. You know, that'd be all right, too. I'd say, you know, a tenth of a percent of my podcast. No, even it'd be a bargain basement deal. I mean, hey, $1 million, okay, you know. That's just chump change, right? Yeah. Okay, well, anyway, next item. Firefox wins a small, and I'm talking very small, tiny, little orange victory. You say orange? Yeah, because their Firefox RSS icon that is prominently displayed in Firefox, if you hit a page with an RSS feed, there's that little orange, cute little icon with a little kind of, you know, sound-looking thing on it or whatever. Well, guess what? Now, this is wild if you think about it. Negotiations between Microsoft and Mozilla Foundation. Now, they're two people you wouldn't want to, you wouldn't figure to be in the same room. But they got together and negotiated and decided to use Firefox's icon in the next version of Internet Explorer. Now, everybody is saying, whoa, dude, big victory for Firefox. And I agree. I mean, that shows you that Microsoft is seriously thinking about what's going on in the Firefox world. You know, they're not just looking at it as, well, you know, they're below our radar. They're really, you know, hey, that's pretty cool. All right. So, kudos to Firefox. Kudos to Mozilla for getting their icon recognized by the big boys. Yeah. All right. Next one. No IE for Macs. Do you remember on Seinfeld? Do you remember the soup Nazi? No soup for you. No soup for you. Well, Microsoft is saying that to Mac users. No IE for you. Microsoft plans to discontinue support for its Internet Explorer browser on the Mac OS X platform, OS 10, for those of you who pronounce it that way, at the end of the year. So the end of this year, that's it. Well, I'm sure the Mac people are kind of going, oh, no, please, no, Microsoft. No, they don't care. They're using the Safari browser. They're using Firefox. So what do they care? But at any rate, IE is going away for the Mac world. Yeah. Well, what do you know? Maybe it's a portent of things to come. Maybe Microsoft will quit making, Microsoft Office for the Mac? Yeah, what if they keep losing enough Mac market share that they don't make anything for the Mac anymore? That wouldn't surprise me too much, but we'll see. All right, like I said, it is still, as I record this, December the 24th, you have less than one, shopping day before Christmas. And to tell the truth, I haven't done mine yet, so I gotta get that done today. Anyway, I have, for your pleasure, a geek gift flowchart available on the blog. Go find Geek Gift Flowchart, look it up, and you will see what it is that your geek wants. It's a flowchart so that you can start in a position and you move through the flowchart and you answer questions. For instance, does it use electricity? Well, if it's for a geek and it's a gift, it had better use electricity. If it doesn't, oh well. So let's say that you said no, it doesn't use electricity. Well, then can you build something with it? Yes or no? If you say no, you can't build something with it, then you've only got one more option. Is it weird? If it's not weird, okay, it doesn't use electricity, you can't build anything with it, and it's not weird, sorry. It'll just be re-gifted. In other words, the geek will turn around and give it to somebody else. Maybe next Christmas, you know, whatever. So let's say it does use electricity. Does it glow? If it doesn't glow, then the next question would obviously be, can you zap people with it? If you can't zap people with it, then does it vibrate? Well, if it doesn't glow, you can't zap people with it, and it doesn't vibrate, then it's just going to be stripped for its parts. Sorry. Okay, so that won't get it. But what if it does glow? Well, what color does it glow? Does it glow red or green? Sorry. It'll just be used for Christmas lights. Does it glow Chernobyl blue? Dude, okay, maybe we're on the right track. Now, next question after that, does it include heavy water as a component? Then it'll become the geek's only light source if it does. But if it doesn't, then will it create fear in the populace? Well, if it does, then it will be a great gift and you'll be thanked and worshipped for years to come. If not, sorry, it'll just be used as Christmas lights again. That's the flowchart. So now you know what your geek is looking for, okay? The key thing, really, the first question is the most important. Does it use electricity? Is it some kind of electronic doodad? If it is, dude, you're in good shape. All right. Next item, PC viruses. According to the security firm Ironport, they counted how long it took the various antivirus firms to produce an antidote following the first appearance of a malicious program or a virus. And it found that on average, antivirus firms took 17 hours to respond to new threats. That's not real good. Because the amount of time that it takes in computer world time, 17 hours is forever. I mean, you fire off an email with an attachment that contains a malicious virus that your virus, quote-unquote, stopping program doesn't have a signature to. In 17 hours, it can go around the world 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times. Dude, come on. So they need to get better at coming up with remedies more quickly and dispersing them more quickly. So come on, guys. Let's get it together. Come on. PC viruses, we may not be as safe as we think we are. All right, next item is a Geek Software of the Week. This is a really cool one. Now, if you don't have any use for it, it may not be all that cool for you. For me, it was really cool because I don't like Outlook. Well, to be honest, I don't like many things that Microsoft puts out. But Outlook is one of those things that is truly evil. And why I say that? Because all the PC viruses, all of the exploits, take advantage of either Outlook or Outlook Express, and if you are running it, it's like having an open door saying, "Hi there, welcome to my humble home, please come in and trash it." You know, don't use Outlook. I have told people over and over and over again, don't use Outlook. It's the same thing with Internet Explorer. Don't use Internet Explorer. Everything is aimed squarely at the bullseye of Internet Explorer and Outlook. Those are two big wide open doors that the bad guys use to get into your system. So, I don't use either one. I use Firefox for my web browser, and I use web-based Squirrel Mail for my email. And because of those two things, I just don't get any infections. Now, I do have antivirus. I do have, on some computers, I have AVG. On some computers, I have Avast, which is free antivirus. On one computer, I've got WinClam open source antivirus with WinPooch, which I've told you about last time, and how to set that up. And that's great. But if you just don't use Outlook and Internet Explorer, you will cut out a whole lot of problems. So, the problem is, you know, at work, now I must admit, at work I do use Outlook because, you know, that's the email system that they have at work. They have Exchange as the email server, and they have Outlook, the full version of Outlook, as the email client, and I've got to use that at work. And one thing that I will say about Outlook that I do like, in terms of having to use it, is that it will notify you. A little pop-up thing will come up and say, "You've got mail," in effect, and you'll see who sent the mail and the first sentence of the email. That's really kind of cool. You know, it does let you know immediately if you're sitting there at your system what email you're getting and the fact that you just got some. And obviously, if you're using web-based email, then, you know, the only time you're going to know that you got email is when you log on to the website, you know, log into your email account, in my case Squirrel Mail, and see, "Oh, hey, look, I've got mail. What do you know?" And then you reply, you answer email. So, you know, you may check it, I don't know, depending on depending on your computer habits, you may check it, you know, once every couple hours. Yeah, right. A lot of people only check it once every day, maybe once every couple of days. Bless your darling hearts. You know, you just must not live online like I do. But at any rate, you just don't check it that often. And you, of course, miss important email that way. So what PopTray does, it's an open source package. And it, you install it on your system, you point it to your email account, you know, using your email provider information like you would normally put in Outlook or Thunderbird or whatever your email client happens to be. And then what happens is when you get an email, it goes out and checks. You set how often you want to check. I set mine to check every minute. Now, you may say, "Man, that's overkill." Well, hey, I like to know when I get email. So every minute it goes out and goes, "Hello, you got email? Okay. Hello, you got email? Okay." Hell, you know, and you understand. And so what's going to happen is if you have email, a little pop-up will come up and say, "Dude, you got mail." And you can put some kind of little, you know, WAV file or audio file or whatever to notify you so that you're not just looking at your screen, it will come up and notify you. Now, me being a Star Trek geek that I am, I have a communicator signal. So it goes beep, beep, and lets you know that mail has come in. Dude, I mean, you could put somebody going, "Dude, you got mail," you know, whatever you want to put, you know, some kind of WAV file. Feel free to use that WAV file if you'd like and just take it right off the MP3. Anyway, whatever you want to do, you know, you could have Worf saying, "Hailing frequencies open, sir," you know, whatever. And it will come up and let you know you got mail. So it's cool. So check it out. That's not all that it does. I mean, it has all kinds of great features. It even does some things with like white lists and black lists in terms of blocking out spam. I mean, it does a lot of different things. I suggest you read up on it. One thing that I like about it is it has plugins. And one of the plugins is an IMAP plugin. So you don't even have to use POP. If you're just determined you don't want to use POP on your server, which I can understand, then you can use IMAP, which is the same protocol that Squirrel Mail uses. So, pretty cool. You know, very nice little program. And, of course, it is free and open source. There you go. All right, next item in the news. Sorry for having to clear my throat. I'm kind of fighting off a little throat-clearing issue there. At any rate, next item in the news is Microsoft has released the Longhorn Server Beta, along with Windows Vista's Beta. Now, if you're part of Microsoft's Beta program, then you got a new toy to play with. If you're not, oh well. You know, which of course I'm not. However, Microsoft released to their beta testers Monday of last week a build for both Windows Vista Client and the Longhorn Server. The Longhorn Server and Vista Client build is 5270. And so we're getting further down the road toward getting the new Longhorn Server, which probably, I'd say next year, 2006, maybe, probably more like 2007. For that to actually happen. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what Microsoft does with that. It'll be interesting. Next item. First update for OpenOffice 2.0 has been released. OpenOffice 2.01 is out, and it mainly just contains bug fixes and updates. So those of you that are OpenOffice users, go ahead, go out and get that. Install it. Enjoy, because it is open source, and it is a great Office suite and totally free. Oh man, you gotta love that. All right, next item in the news: Seagate buys Mac Store for approximately $2 billion. What is it with the billion this week, man? $2 billion. Now, you know, everybody buys things around Christmas. Okay, this is a big Christmas purchase. All right. Seagate buying its competitor. Now, you know, in terms of market share, Seagate is the biggest hard drive manufacturer, followed by Western Digital, and then Mac Store is in third place. So Seagate, number one, is buying Mac Store, number three. Western Digital's got to be going, oh, man. So Seagate's going to get even bigger. And, of course, the market is shrinking. You know, that may mean drive prices will go up a little bit. I don't like that. There needs to be competition. Okay? Again, sorry about having to clear my throat. StarTrek.com is dying? Come on, guys. I know that the Star Trek franchise is, you know, it's kind of on its last legs, but man, StarTrek.com. Now, I got to admit, even as a big Star Trek fan that I am, I typically only go there when I need Star Trek desktop backgrounds for my computer, okay? Okay. I don't go there for a lot of the other stuff. I don't buy stuff from their store and all that kind of stuff. So, okay, maybe if I had, who knows. But the rumor is that as of the end of this year, December 31st, it will close its doors. Now, there is also an additional rumor that Gene Roddenberry's son, Rod, is trying to take over the site and keep it alive. I hope that one is true. He is working with an IPT version of Star Trek called New Voyages, and he's helping them with that, and he's trying to kind of keep the vision of Star Trek alive. So hopefully he'll be able to step in there and take over StarTrek.com if it really is about to go, so to speak, off the air. That would just be a shame. On the other hand, that URL, StarTrek.com, I'd love to have that. Oh, well, anyway. All right, Norton Antivirus has a flaw. Well, first of all, let me say, I'm not really surprised. Norton Antivirus by Symantec is just not that good an antivirus. Now, another disclaimer here. We use Norton Antivirus where I work. It's not my decision. If it had been, we wouldn't be using it, but that's just the way it is, okay? You know, it's like anything else. The big dogs are the ones that get shot at. And there are a lot of antiviruses that specifically target Norton, okay? And they know how to cut it off. And I have seen things come in and cut that thing right off, and you see your little Norton Antivirus logo down there in your system tray, and you think you're all right, but it's just turned off, okay? So that's bad enough. But as if that wasn't bad enough, now there is actually a flaw in Norton Antivirus that allows it to be compromised. So now I'm sure they'll fix it, and they'll put out a bug fix release and all that kind of stuff. But if I were you, I would switch to AVG or Avast, dude, right now, okay? Just, I've got links on on my site there, thecomputercurmudgeon.com. Click on that one for the free antivirus download from AVG, excuse me, or the free Avast Home Edition download. I'm really sorry about my voice. Anyway, spyware infection leads to massive spyware infections. Huh? What kind of headline is that, Dr. Bill? Well, that's what it says. Spyware is bad, okay? But it's getting worse. There's a new spike in spyware activity, and basically what's happening is there is a spyware infection that occurs that will create a little pop-up on your screen that says, you are infected with spyware. Click here to have your system cleaned. If you see that, don't click there. Duh. You don't want to do that, because if you click that little thing that says click here to have your system clean, you're going to get a boatload of additional spyware. I tell you what, these spyware guys, the writers of this stuff, they need to be first up against the wall when a revolution comes. You know what I mean? Okay. Bad stuff. And as I say in my blog, may the great bird of the galaxy come to nest in their nose. Okay. Santa Worm installs rootkit payload. The Santa Worm. Now, somebody writes a worm and then somebody else names it the Santa Worm, I guess because of Christmas. Give me a break. Anyway, the Santa Worm is installing a rootkit payload, and what it is an instant messaging IM worm. It's attacking AOL, MSN, Windows Messenger, ICQ, and Yahoo Instant Messaging Networks. That's most of the big dogs right there, okay? So if you use Instant Messenger, watch out for this, because this instant messaging worm can attack your instant messenger. And when it does, it will install as its payload a rootkit, which will then give you no end of grief on your system. And you just don't want that, okay? What I would encourage you to do if you use instant messaging, go ahead and get Avast antivirus and use that, because it also protects instant messaging clients. Not all antiviruses do that, but Avast will. So go with Avast, okay? If you're using Instant Messenger from any of these companies, and keep your virus signatures updated regularly. Okay. Next item, Dell Firefox rumor. You remember I mentioned the Dell Firefox rumor that they were testing in the United Kingdom installing Dell on Dell systems that were going to customers Firefox. Well, it turns out that rumor is true. All right. Yeah. That is great. More computer makers need to stand up to Microsoft and protect their customers the way Dell has. I salute Dell. Salute. There you go. All right. Next item that I have in my blog is not exactly computer related, but I just had to include it because it was just so cool. I got a little item here. Who's afraid of the Ten Commandments? Apparently not the folks in Kentucky. Now, you know, the ACLU has been fighting against the Ten Commandments for, I don't know, years now. And seems to me to be a very odd thing to fight. Okay, you know, okay, Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. That's bad? Explain to me how that's bad. You know, oh, but we don't want our children to see these things. Why not? It seems to me that would be a good idea. I don't get it. You know, why is that so terrible? And as I say in my blog, you know, I take a slight, shall we say, sarcastic tone. And I say, you know, well, I'm sure they thought the Ten Commandments might warp the minds of some poor unsuspecting youth that might wander into the courthouse and read these heinous statements, thou shalt not kill. Why, how could they play a video game in peace? Well, basically, the Federal Appeals Court didn't buy the ACLU's argument. Excuse me. I'm just really having some issues with my voice and talking this week. Excuse me. Anyway, they apparently didn't buy the ACLU's argument, basically. Judge Richard, oh my, Schuhrheinrich, you look at that and try to spell it, S-U-H-R-H-E-I-N-R-I-C-H, yeah, okay. Anyway, that guy, ruled that the ACLU brought tiresome judgments, don't you love it, tiresome judgments about the wall of separation, supposedly in the Constitution, right, between church and state, and it said the organization does not represent a reasonable person. Well, duh, I agree with that. So very cool that that was tossed out. Now, you got to understand, they didn't have a big display in the courthouse that said, look, we are trying to establish a religion here for the United States, and here's the Ten Commandments to represent that. That's not what they did. They had this little display off to one side that had a thing about the history of of law, and it had a little thing, a little placard with the, you know, Ten Commandments. It also had the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the words to the Star-Spangled Banner, and other documents. They weren't trying to do any establishing. They weren't trying to do anything like that. They just had this little display, you know, no big deal. And the ACLU jumped on it and said, hey, look at this, you've got this here, you can't do that. Well, dude, you know, get over it. The thing is, my point of view, the country was founded on freedom of religion. You know, OF, of. But there's a lot of folks that are trying to get freedom from religion, which is F-R-O-M. That's a little bit longer word, isn't it? And there is a difference between freedom of religion and freedom from religion. The Constitution says freedom of religion. You can be a Christian, you can be a Muslim, you can be a Satan worshiper, whatever you want to be. You can be an atheist, which is a religion, by the way. Whatever you want to be is fine with the United States of America. You can do that. You know, now it ain't fine with God, but that's another issue. However, there's nothing in the Constitution that says that we are to be free from any religion at all. Okay? That's the difference. So I put that in my blog under Christian Worldview. So check that out. Check the link out. You'll enjoy it. All right, next item. Fun things you can do with a USB thumb drive. You know, those things are just cool. And I talked about that a couple weeks ago, how, you know, I paid like $850 for my first 5 meg hard drive, full height 5 meg hard drive. Wow, that was many, 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 many years ago. But the little USB thumb drives, I've gotten one now that's a 1 gig USB thumb drive. Oh, man, that's so cool. Well, anyway, there are all kinds of things you can do with them, much less use them, excuse me, just for plain old storage, you know, carrying files around, carrying utilities around, things like that. That's cool enough. But you can actually set them up to where they can be bootable. You can boot a Linux distro off of it. You can use it for various, you can take your own browser with you so that you can use Firefox wherever you go, even if they don't have it installed. I mean, there's all kinds of cool things you can do with it. And this is a list of 10 projects you can do with your USB thumb drive. So check it out. You'll like it. And then finally, last item is that NetBSD version 3.0 is out. Now, I'm not a big BSD guy, okay? I'm a big Linux guy. I use Linux. I use Linux on my servers. I like it a lot. But BSD is cool. Now, BSD is the basically Berkeley Unix, if you will. And NetBSD is specifically designed to work as a server on a network. Very, very nice distribution. But one of the cool things that's new in BSD 3.0, which has just come out, is native support for the Xen Virtual Machine Monitor. Native Xen support already built into it, which means you can have multiple guest operating systems running on the server. Very, very, very cool. Check that out. I may have to download it and check it out myself because that sounds pretty neat. So NetBSD has come a long way. May want to check that out. But also Linux, hey, you know, Red Hat is going to have native Xen support in its next release of Enterprise Linux. And that means CentOS will have it too, which, you know, I use CentOS. CentOS is the totally free, completely 100%, 100% free version of Linux based on, built off of, the Red Hat distribution. So that's why I use CentOS. So good stuff. Well, I tell you what, we're running right down to the wire here on time, and that's great. We're just running it down to the clock, to the right point. But I tell you what, join me next week, and do have a Merry Christmas celebration of Jesus' birth. Do that for me, and have a Happy Year, New Year, too, because it's going to be a fun time. All right. Well, I tell you what, until next week, the doctor is out. And I'll work on my voice in the meantime.